Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And one thing about the cycles of history in 2009, you could think it was 1976 again if you just went by the New York Yankees. In both years, the Yankees moved into gleaming new stadiums on 161st Street. In both years, they returned to the World Series after a long drought. And in both years, they had a brash new principal owner named Steinbrenner making sometimes brash, obnoxious pronouncements. Ira Burko knows something about the cycles of Yankee history. He covered the Yankees for the New York Times for 25 years and has a new book, a collection of decades worth of columns, called Summers in the Bronx, Attila the Hun, and Other Yankee Stories. Hi, Ira. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Brian.
Attila the Hun was someone's bedtime reading?
Well, essentially, yes. A lot of people ascribe Attila the Hun to being George Steinbrenner, but in fact, George Steinbrenner admired Attila the Hun, or the Attila the Hun that he thought that he was reading. I was at Yankee Stadium one day, and I saw George, and there was some press conference going on. It was not a game day. And I asked him a question. He said, Ira, come into my office for a minute. So I go into his office. I sit down across the table from him, his desk, rather. And he said, well, I asked him a question, and he answered by saying, well, you know, as Attila the Hun said, I said, what? He said, yes, Attila the Hun said, you know, the chieftain always has to be a certain way with the Huns. And so I looked at him, I nodded, and he said this. I asked another question, and he answered again. I said, George, what are you talking about? And so he went into his drawer, he pulled out a book, and the book was The Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. And I said, George, I don't think Attila the Hun ever was actually quoted, and I think that the book might be a spoof. He says, oh, no. He says, look. And then he showed me. He was underlining adages and axioms and making red stars alongside of them.
And not embarrassed to tell a reporter that he was doing so.
No, no. And so and then he started quoting some more, and I started laughing. And at one point I said, George, you have to stop. I can't take notes. My hand is shaking from laughter. And then he said, here, Ira, you can have this book. I said, George, this is your book. I don't want your book. I mean, you've underlined and everything. He said, no, I have the exact same book underlined, exact same way in my office in Tampa.
Now he's old and his mind is failing. Do you look back on George as Attila the Hun or more fondly than that?
Well, both. I mean, I think George always tried to do the right thing. And he had a bullying a tendency, but he was smart. He was charming. Sometimes he didn't have introspection, but he was a. I look back on. I would have to say fondly. And there's one column in the book in which when he was suspended from baseball for a variety of things. And the column was that I went to a psychiatrist, and I got on the couch, and the psychiatrist said, "Well, what's the problem?" I said, "Doctor, I have a very serious problem. I miss George Steinbrenner." And he said, "Oh my God!" He ran. He got cold compresses put on my forehead. And, anyway, that was the column.
And in that column, you wrote that you missed George partly because you saw him as baseball vaudeville, which I'm sure is a lot less seriously than he took himself.
Yeah, but he also said that he had enough chinks in his armor to fill a battalion. So, I mean, he understood that. But he was for a columnist, he was great to have around because you can disagree with almost everything he ever did.
Now there's a new Steinbrenner, his son Hal, running the team principally. Is he Attila the Hun too?
No, he's not. Hank was the other son was more of Attila the Hun, but I think they've sort of eased him out. He was stepping on too many toes. And Hal is more of a gentle guy, and I think that Randy Levine, the president of the team, and Cashman are really running the team, and they'll pass by certain ideas with Hal Steinbrenner, but for the most part, it's their decisions. Previously, it was always George who made the last decision.
Ira Burko, my guest on WNYC, longtime New York Times Yankees beat reporter. His new collection of columns called Summers in the Bronx, Attila the Hun, and Other Yankee Stories. Just an update. for a minute on the train situation, because commuters and holiday travelers are still stuck or scrambling as rail service has come to a standstill in and around New York City, other than the Long Island Railroad. An Amtrak spokesman says a power problem just outside the city in northern New Jersey forced the railroad to halt trains into and out of Penn Station earlier this morning, and there is still no word on when it will be back. Also, New Jersey Transit, so the Northeast Regional, that's the Amtrak lines, the Northeast Regional and the Acela trains, and also some of the local New Jersey Transit lines trying to come into Penn Station can't. And listeners, our news department would like tips from you if you are stuck in this. They want you to help us report on this because this is affecting you and you're out there. So if you're affected, send your story to newstips@wnyc.org. Our news department wants your email if you are personally affected by this New Jersey Transit and Amtrak problem. Send it to newstips@wnyc.org. Hey, Roberto, what do you think about the new stadium?
Well, like a lot of people, someone said that the exterior of the stadium looks like the exterior of U.S. Treasury. And it's not warm and cuddly as Citi Field has tried to be. And it's sprawling and, you know, and you the tradition is to go to a ball game and get a hot dog and a beer. Here, it's they have some of the best food in the city, and so it's hard to complain. But you don't want to leave the restaurants and go to the ball game, and so it doesn't seem in the American tradition of baseball.
And I noticed that even the font that they put on the scoreboard, showing the players' names and stats. You say it looks like the U.S. Treasury outside. It looks like a Bank of America annual report.
It's
very corporate looking.
Yeah, but the team was wonderful last year.
Yes,
and that was fun.
And I've been a Yankee fan since I was 7 years old, so I have no objectivity here. Uh-huh. But when you cover the mighty Yankees, U.S. Steel, as someone once disparagingly called them, year in and year out, do you become more warm and fuzzy feeling about them, or more cynical?
Well, you know, well, you may become cynical about what Steinbrenner did, for example, and some of his moves, but he was always trying to make the team better. And money was no object with George. Just sometimes he didn't get the right chemistry. They do now. And warm and fuzzy is, you know, how are the players and how do they play? They don't really have any obligation to writers to be cordial or to give you information. It's up to the writer to be able to get this stuff. You know, before they were pretty crazy. I mean, Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson. I mean, it was a semi-nut house. But many of them just performed, and they won games and championships. But now it's sort of a gentler atmosphere, and you kind of have to root for these guys. I mean, Jeter is the real thing. Tesheris, the first baseman, is the real thing. Matsui and Damon were real. I mean, it was a beautiful team to watch, and they really played baseball in the right way.
I want to play two clips that refer to scandals of different eras. The first is George Steinbrenner in 1982. The context is he's talking about letting Reggie Jackson go, but one of the things was a scandal involving corking his bat to illegally give it more pop.
I will tell you that it is prevalent today in baseball. There's a lot of fellows that cork their bats. And I don't know why Reggie took it so personally, unless he did take it personally. I didn't mention Reggie. Reggie's a fine competitor. He's can rise to the moment like very few players or athletes I've ever known. To say that we made a mistake, in my opinion, I was one of the fellows that felt that maybe we shouldn't let Reggie go. But you have to go with the judgment of your baseball people, and they felt that perhaps at the figure that he was getting, which is $900,000 plus that attendance bonus. You see, I couldn't very well give that attendance bonus to Reggie and not to some of my other players, some of my other stars. So that was a difficult thing for me to overcome.
All right, so that was George Steinbrenner, 1982.
I have a few things about that. Number one, he says, well, I'm not going to mention Reggie Jackson, but he mentioned Reggie Jackson. He also said, well, it's my baseball people who said that they should go. George was the last, he signed off on everything. It was George who wanted Reggie to go. He didn't want to spend the money.
That $900,000, that was just a bonus, or was that a salary back then?
It was probably a salary back then, but there was had to be an added bonus for bringing in people. And George thought that Reggie was at the end of his rope as a player, really.
Though he was wrong, and he came to regret that.
Yes.
Decision. Yeah. $900,000. It seems like a quaint salary for a baseball player.
That's almost a minimum today.
But it was almost 30 years ago. A-Rod gets $30 million a year now. And so second scandal, A-Rod lying about steroids to Katie Couric on CBS.
For the record, have you ever used steroids, human growth hormone, or any other performance-enhancing substance?
No.
Have you ever been tempted to use any of those things?
No.
You never felt like, this guy's doing it, maybe I should look into this too. He's getting better numbers, playing better ball.
I've never felt overmatched on the baseball field. I've always been in a very strong, dominant position. And I felt that if I did my work, since I was a rookie back in Seattle, I didn't have a problem competing at any level. So, no.
So we know now he was dissembling.
And I never had sex with that woman.
Right. When you look back at the bat corking of 1982, does it seem like the scandals of yesteryear, maybe 1919 excluded, were quaint compared to what we go through
now?
Well,
not necessarily. I mean, they were corking the bats in Babe Ruth's time, and they're still corking the bats. The problem with Reggie was that he got caught, just as Sammy Sosa got caught. I mean, the steroids are part of the corking thing in that players are under a lot of pressure to perform and also to stay on the team to get their salaries. And so they'll do just about anything. And I think something like I've talked to people inside baseball, doctors and others with teams, and the feeling is at least 80% of the players have done some kind of steroidal thing, something that's illegal. So the playing field seems generally to be level, and the players are going to get away with whatever they can get away with. And A-Rod saying that he never did. My feeling about A-Rod is I do believe that he felt that he was never overmatched on the field. That doesn't mean he's thinking that one day I might be overmatched, so I better do the most I can for myself with whatever enhancements I can take.
10 seconds. Melky Cabrera for Javier Vasquez. You like it?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think that Javier will succeed.
Ira Burko, longtime Yankees reporter and columnist for The New York Times, Pulitzer Prize-winning sports writer, collection of his columns, Summers in the Bronx, Attila the Hun, and other Yankee stories. Thank you so much. It was fun.
Thank you, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Eileen Markey produced this program. We had intern help today from Amanda Reisman, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Mike Lupica at the audio controls, not Mike Lupica. I'm Brian Lehrer.